Acts chapter 10, the title of the message this morning is When God Interrupts. When God Interrupts. If there was ever a time in the church or the average Christian's life that needed an interruption from God, it's the day that we're living in now. We've slumbered and slept and routined and rutted ourselves into a stupor, and we have an attitude of unexpectancy, say it that way, that pervades the church, an attitude of unexpectancy, where we come to the place where we don't really expect anything to happen, not only at church, but I mean in our lives as Christians. Wasn't too long ago, maybe last week I spoke about this, and I'll refresh your memory that, you know, we know what the Bible says about what God did in the past and what God's going to do in the future, but we can't see what God's doing now. And I've had some prayer meetings where we ask, you know, I kind of threw it in there all unexpectedly. I said, you know, tell me what God's doing in your life. And I had a lot of silence there. Everybody is thinking about it for a minute, not knowing what God's doing in their life. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we just need a time that we really, have God to shake us up or wake us up somehow. They say this, I never have tried this experiment, but they say that if you take a frog and you put him in a pan of real hot water, that he'll try to hop out of the water. But if that you put a frog in a pan of water and turn the heat up very slow, just let it slowly rise, he'll just sit there and sit there and sit there till he dies, that the water gets so hot till he dies. And that kind of illustrates, I think, us a lot of times with what's going on in the world, and we think about God's program and our involvement as Christians in the program and where we think we may fit, that I think that there's the heat's being turned up, and yet we're not jumping out of the pan or really changing anything, any routine of our life to any degree. And so I think that, you know, God, we need God to get a hold of us and shake us up and just interrupt the routine of our lives. I get the magazine. It's called Decision. It's a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, I guess. They put this magazine out, and there's other things like that. David Gibbs, a Christian Law Association lawyer, has a webpage and a newsletter, and they tell about events that are going on not only in America but all over the world. You sit down. I mean, we know certain things happen, but when you start reading about them, I wrote some of the things down just to kind of give you a little picture there. This is recent stuff. This was in the just got the magazine the other day. It said that the Islamics are attacking Christians in Kenya. Of course, we know Brother Samson's there. Kenya and Nigeria. This one village they went into, they killed Christians. Some of the children that they killed were from 3 months old to 17 years old. This is in the world that we live in today. Alberta, Canada, they passed a bill that says that schools cannot inform the parents of children who want to join the gay-straight alliance. The schools are not allowed to inform the parents that their children join that, only unless the children give permission to the school. Who's supposed to be raising the kids? The parents are I'd be taking my kids out of those schools, by the way. Australia finally legalized same-sex marriage. Hey, join the crowd, right? The State Church of Sweden, under the leadership of its first female archbishop, has declared that its clergy use gender-neutral language when referring to God. No longer can say he or Lord. They have to use the term just God. They say God is not human, which actually is true. He's a spirit, but when he did choose to come to earth as a man, he came as a human, he came as a man. In Europe, the term pregnant woman is now considered transphobic. Claims it excludes transgender people who have given birth. Texas a year ago had passed a law that required, of course, abortion's legal just about everywhere, which is an abomination in the sight of God. They passed a law where the doctors had to stop the heart of a fetus before they performed a D and E abortion, which is dilation and evacuation, which consists of cutting the fetus up before they suck it out with a machine. They had passed a law that the doctors had to stop the heart before they did that. Recently, a federal judge in Texas struck down that law that requires them to stop the heart of the fetus, saying it may harm the, I guess you can say woman, or we got to go transgender, that it might be dangerous to the woman. I Googled this up to see, to check something. Between 1970 and 2014, the United States murdered over 44.5 million babies. And the Center for Disease Control also had a footnote that said not all of the states reported every year between that span. So that means that the number's actually higher than that. And that means that we're living in a nation of murderers. Are you proud of it? I Googled this up. Alcohol industry reported in 2014, this is the last year, the alcohol industry reported $475 billion in economic activity in 1 year. $475 billion. We're living in a nation of drunks. That's the nation that we live in. We give back to us. And the reason I was sharing that with you, I just wanted to, you know, because see, we've gotten into that stupor where we think it's not that bad. You know, things aren't that bad. I mean, look around here, people are taking their lives because they think there's no hope right out from underneath our noses. Right out from under our noses. People are thinking that this is the way to end it all because I just don't have any hope. David Gibbs was preaching on the radio the other day. I happened to be listening to him, and he said he forgot where he got the stat. There's people that get these stats. And this is true. I know this is true. That the average Christian, in light of everything I just read, and that's just a drop in the bucket. Look, folks, there's a lot more news than that. That's it in the major headlines. I mean, there's stories like this from every state. Stories like this from every nation. Yet the average Christian prays less than 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Either we don't believe in the power of prayer or we don't see the need. But either way, God needs to shake us up about that matter right there. Yeah, and listen, I'm guilty, man. I can, you know, you think about praying for 5 minutes. And I'll share this with you too. I'm probably ahead of myself. I'll give it to you now. I was listening to David Gibbs preach a message about this, and I was actually there, and I remember him talking about it, and he said you ought to have a prayer list. You ought to have a list, not your church list, your list. Things, because what happens if you don't, he said, you get kind of repetitive, and then when just a couple of minutes, you're kind of saying the same thing over and over again. I'm going to bring that up to you in a minute in one of my points and tell you something, give you some insight into that right there. But we're praying, you know, because we don't see the need. You know, I've said this before. Wednesday night is our prayer meeting. And I don't know, I've really been thinking about this thing. We do what was called a Bible study and prayer meeting, and we go through books of the Bible. You know, we're in Ephesians right now, and I just kind of go verse by verse, expository, kind of explain, teaching that. And last Wednesday, I tried to cut back a little bit on the time. And then we used to just come down here and pray. We'd get down here and just everybody come to the altar, and we kind of get done and go back and sit. And then we'd be dismissed in prayer. And I got kind of convicted about that because I felt like when you're praying like that, you kind of feel like you're under the gun to get done because you don't want to hold everybody else up to dismiss the meeting. And so what we started doing was on Wednesday night, we just started like breaking up in twos and threes, getting together with a few people spread out. Pray as long as you want. We're already done. Pray till midnight. You can stay here. Just shut the lights out. I don't care. Pray as long as you want to pray. I didn't want to put a stop on that. And I was listening to some of the other pastors preaching and just some that I know. And I know Brother Dwayne that's coming for our revival in the spring. He does this. He does very little teaching on maybe just a 5 minute something. And they get right down to the business of praying. I was listening to Jim Cimbala, who has the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. It's a great big church. It's a big, of course, they're in New York and Brooklyn. But he has 1,200 people on Wednesday night that come out, and all they do is pray. They don't even start. I mean, they don't even have a thing where the pastor gets up and says, well, I'm glad you're all here, and, you know, here's a scripture. He said they just get there and start praying. Whenever you get there, you start praying, and they'll run 1,200 people. So I know it's not, some people are getting the hang of this. They're getting the idea about this. Our church, our prayer meeting this week, it's the weakest one numbers-wise. We had 11 people here Wednesday night. Now, I'm not counting, that's not counting the adults that, you know, Angela and Lester and Sherry and Shelby and Stan. They're over there on the other side with the kids, so we'd have had double the number But we had 11 in over here, 11 people. You know, yeah, I know it's cold. I know it is. But, you know, Jesus suffered on the cross. He died for us, man. He suffered and died. I mean, a little suffering on our side. I didn't suffer all that bad. I mean, I got a remote start, man. I start my car in the house, and then when I think it's warm enough, you know, shoot out there and get in it. It's not that bad. You know, we made it. But just... And part of it's like, you know, humans do what they want to do. We do that. Next day, everybody got up and went to work, you know. And it's just that I think we don't really see either the need or don't really believe in the power that there is when you pray, when you're praying to a God Almighty, that God hears our prayers and He honors our prayers and we lift those things up to prayer. We still have a hard time getting a grasp on the power that we have. And into that light, I think that God needs to shake us up to that event. And man, if you can't look at these worldwide events that are going on, and that's the reason why I read some of that, it's not all gloom and doom. Listen, I know that God's still on the throne and that God's able, and I know one day He's going to rule and reign and I'm going to be in heaven with Him. But you know, God's got us down here now. He's got a plan and a purpose down here now, and we're not going to get nothing done. You'll never get nothing done for God unless you get in the attitude of prayer. We got a revival meeting scheduled in March, and we'll not have a revival. I'm going to tell you right now, we'll never have a revival until us, God's people, start getting down and get past the now I lay me down to sleep, Mickey Mouse, mealy mouth prayers. When we get down and be honest with God and just say, God, like the one man said, God help me. He said, I'm a sinner, man. I don't even know what all my problems are. God will start pointing them out to you and say, God, listen, deal with me. Deal with my heart. Pour your heart out to God. We're going to see when I get to the text, if I get to the text, how God honors. God is seeking the people that are seeking Him. And then something happens in their lives. And so, you know, listen, I thought about this. I was kidding with the church. I said, man, I'm going to send out a text about this weather business. And I sent a little something out tonight. But I told the Sunday school class, think about it. You know that today is the Lord's Day, right? Sunday. Today was the coldest day it's been all year. And probably the coldest day it's been in several years. My thermometer hit zero. It was one when I got up and it fell back to zero. It's on Sunday of all days. Who's in control of the weather? God's in control of the weather, right? Do you ever wonder if maybe it's just a little test from God to see how committed and how faithful and how dedicated and if we'll do a little suffering for Him? Do you ever wonder if stuff like that is from God? It didn't catch Him by surprise. Zero could have came day before yesterday, but it came today. I mean, it's just something to think about. So we need God, I think, to interrupt our lives. When we look in Acts in chapter 10, and there's a lot to this, and I've kind of cut it down just a little bit, and I'll fill in the holes in a minute. But in verse 9, and this is dealing with Peter, said, on the morrow they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. Imagine that. About the sixth hour. Here was a guy that was in the habit of prayer. Okay, and right after that, what happened was God came to him. He went into trance and he gave him a revelation. Had to do with all manner of four-footed beasts, and he told him to eat, and he said, I'm not going to eat. And then God said, don't call nothing uncommon or unclean. He said that I have cleansed. So he was teaching Peter a lesson because he's about to go to Cornelius, a Gentile, and share the gospel with him. And then we pick up the story over there in verse 25, and it says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now God showed that to him while he was in prayer, by the way. He said, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And now Cornelius answered, he said, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Notice how every time somebody's praying, God shows up. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, I like that, therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Boy, what a congregation Peter's got. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he feareth him and worketh righteousness and is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And now here's the message Peter's preaching. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he doeth, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick, which is the living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And look here in verse 44, it says, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we see we got two people, and some of them is a group, Cornelius' household, and then the Holy Ghost of God who did some interrupting on his own. But I want to use those 3 points just to talk to you about that. The very first thing we see is that God interrupted Peter. God interrupted Peter. We see Peter in verse 9. He had a habit of prayer, daily prayer, and I think it was some time, a significant time that he spent in prayer. And this is what we need to see, that really God responds when we with a sincere heart seek God. When we're really seeking God, God's going to listen. He's not going to leave us here hanging. Now, a lot of times, like I say, we get them old formal, habitual, repetitive prayers that aren't really from our heart. God doesn't have much to do with that. But when we get sincere with God you don't have to. I was sharing with somebody the other day. Listen, you don't have to have a big dictionary to pray to God. Just be honest with God. Tell God what's going on. Tell God what you need. You can even tell God, I don't know what I need. You know what? I'm not even sure. I'm sure there's things that we all need we don't know that we need that God has. And so Peter spent some time in serious prayer. I was telling you about David Gibbs said he ought to have a prayer list. He said he was in a meeting. He preached this one time. He said he was in a meeting, or he represented. David Gibbs is a Christian lawyer, and that he represents people that have these lawsuits filed against them by organizations or people about their Christian rights. He'll represent you for nothing if it's a big case. And he's had some big ones. And he said he had Lester Roloff. A lot of people have been know who Lester Roloff. He's dead now. He was a preacher, evangelist, went all around. And said he had a big case with Lester Roloff being sued. And said he went down to his room at 4 o'clock in the morning, Lester Roloff, and called and said, get down here. And he went down. He said he had papers all over the beds, both two beds. He said, papers everywhere. And David come in and said, what is this? Does this have to do with the case? He said, no, it don't have nothing to do with the case. He said, this is my prayer list. This is the things that I need. I pray about every day. He said, papers all over two beds. David said, wow. He said, okay. And David Gibbs, and he went on to preach about it. He talked about having a prayer list, and that's a good idea. But he said, David Gibbs said this, and I thought this was great. He said, I have a prayer list, and he said, I have 63 things that I pray just for my wife every day. 63 things that he prays for his wife every day. And that's not including the other people, things, and busy as he is that he gets up to pray for. Man, that's some serious praying going on right there, huh? And listen, God speaks to us, and we see that God spoke to Peter while he prayed, and God spoke to Cornelius, he came to him while he prayed, and God will speak to us when we really get serious about prayer. See, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter about a person's, a man's personality. You get in the pulpit to preach, you got the funny stories and illustrations, or what, however your delivery is, good, bad, indifferent. It doesn't matter about that. What matters is that God shows up. You know, we need God more than we need a person. We need God. And so, and when we get desperate enough for something, because I've asked, listen, I believe if any one of us here, if we had one of our little kids, one of our children was on its deathbed, I bet you your prayer wouldn't be a routine, you know, learned, repetitive prayer. Man, I mean, you'd be pouring your heart out to God with some tears and some serious things. Well, listen, man, if you can understand, and I want to try to get, this applies to me, you, everybody, there's more to Christianity than all of us are experiencing. There's more. God's got more for you. We mentioned this in our Sunday school class. Listen, a lot of people say, well, I can get saved and I'm going to avoid hell. That's just one little minor aspect of being saved. Man, it's the relationship with God and that filling of the Holy Spirit and God using us in His program. And then the change that comes in our life and joy and peace and love. All that comes, what God does with us, man, it's so much more than just, well, I'm not going to hell. Man, it's a lot more. And we can experience a lot more, but we got to ask for it. God wants you to get, you know, I say this all the time. You don't have to beg a thirsty man to drink. You don't have to beg a hungry man to eat. They're going to do it. And we got to get thirsty for the things of God. And we get thirsty there in prayer sometimes. And like I say, the first prayer might be, Lord, I'm not real sure what to pray about. I'm not real sure what to ask. Help, you know, help me there. So God shook Peter up about some things, and I didn't read all that about the dream, the vision he had about, you know, Jews had dietary customs, they couldn't eat everything. And God lowered a sheet down in his trance that he was in, and he had all manner of four-footed feasts, beasts. A lot of them weren't on the list. They were on the list of things you couldn't eat, and God told him to eat. And Peter said, not so, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. And God said, listen, don't call anything common or unclean that I have cleansed, And God was getting Peter ready to say, hey, some changes are coming. And you're going to go to the Gentiles. And they thought, the Jews thought, boy, God's just for us. And that's it. It's not for the whole world, not for other nations. And so there was a change going on. And God was speaking to Peter about that as he prayed. And so he shook him up about a religion. Sometimes I think we need a shake up about that too. We need to be shaken up about what, and I don't really like the term religion, because religion is a very broad term, and it can be, you can be a devil worshiper and be religious, right? You can be worshiping, like the voodoo, religion and be involved in that and be religious. You know, the Egyptians that worshiped all kind of gods, they were religious. You know, man, listen, I just want to be a Christian, you know, a relationship with the one true God. Yeah, it falls under the realm of religion, but I mean, I want that relationship with God, and we need to get shook up about that thought, even with our worship service sometime. Don't raise your hand, man. I'm not put you on the spot, but how many of you spent any serious amount of time praying for the service today that God would do something, that God would speak to your own heart, that God would speak to somebody else's heart, that you would really feel that God was into service, that you could feel the presence of God? How many of us, and don't raise your hand, how many of us have spent a serious amount of time praying about that very one thing? Well, nothing's going to happen unless we do. See, that's it. How many of you prayed that if somebody here was lost today, that they would get saved today? How many of you prayed about that, about that one thing right there? I mean, if we don't pray about it, then we can't expect God to intercede, you know, and shake up. That's why He gave us that power of prayer, and it's a powerful thing of what God can do. And, even about this, praying about your own life, you know, God, what do you really want me to do? You know, this Christianity thing, it's just not for those full-time vocational guys like the pastor. I can't do much. Huh? What do you want me to do with my life? Where am I going this year? What direction? What? Sometimes people are afraid to pray it. because they're afraid God really will shake up their life. And we like that old rut and routine that we get in, don't we? Huh? We like that rut. Y'all, some of y'all there, I couldn't pry you out of them seats you're sitting in now and get you to sit in another spot if it's the last thing on work. Huh? You got it nailed down, buddy. Nobody better get it. We even had a case one time years ago. A guy told me he came to our church and they didn't come back for a long time. And when he came back, he said, yeah, the first time I ever came there, I said, I sat down in the seat that was empty. And somebody in the church said, you're in my seat. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, I'm not either. He said, they had a scowl on their face, buddy. I mean, man alive, no wonder they didn't. That better not happen. Don't let me find out that happened. That's a bad deal, man. You better give it up, man. Give it up and try another side. That's all, you know, I can say. But yeah, somebody was mad about that. Peter got shook up about religion. He got shook up about race, which really there's no race. It's just ethnic things, but we use the term race. And culture, he found out, hey, guess what? God's going to save other people besides us Jews. These other people are going to get saved too, man. And God said, listen, not only that, Peter, I'm going to use you to take the gospel to them. Peter had to overcome a lot. His culture, his upbringing, his training, his thoughts about he had to come over this. And then he shook up about the grace of God as well. So he got interrupted. And the next person got interrupted was Cornelius, and I really kind of wanted to get right there. Now, we talked about this last week, and I think I brought it up, that Cornelius was a religious man. He was a praying man. He was a giving man. But as yet, he was a lost man. He still needed Christ. He needed the Holy Spirit. And you got to remember, listen, this was that tells us two things. Number one, that you could come to church every day till you're blue in the face. You can be on the church roll. You can pay your tithes. You can be baptized in the creek down there. You got wrinkles all over your body. That you could serve in the church. You could teach in the church. You could do any and still be lost. Amen. Still be lost, doing it all in the flesh. And there's a lot that gets done in the flesh in the average church today. You could still be lost. And so we know Peter, but we know that Cornelius, though, in his case, he was operating with the light that he had. Pentecost hadn't happened. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given. No, Pentecost had happened, too. The Holy Spirit had been given. But it was at a transition period where, the gospel was getting ready to go to the Gentiles. And a few things were different as far as receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been given, but it was a transition period there. And so here was a guy that knew something about the Jewish religion, even though he hadn't converted to it. At one time, that was the only way you got to God. And so he knew that much, and he prayed, and that he actually gave money to people that was in need. It said he gave alms, and he was a giving man, and he had influenced his house in the right way, but yet he was lost. He still needed Jesus Christ, and he still needed the Holy Spirit. This guy would have been a model church member, by the way. But this is where he's different from a lot of people in church today. He knew that his religion was not sufficient to save him. He knew there was more than what he was experiencing. Well, how do you know that? Because I know that he prayed. I think, if I can find it, a little bit farther over. Let me see here. It was one other place over in the next chapter. He said in verse 14, in 13, he said, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. So what does that tell me? That tells me what he was praying about when he was praying and Peter got there. That's what he was, God's specific. And so he knew that his works and his religion and just the fact that he prayed wasn't enough to save him. He knew that. And see, this is where it's different than a lot of people today. A lot of people think, man, I'm in, I'm okay, I'm here every week, everything's all right. They're satisfied with their character, satisfied with their works, no concept of their sinfulness or of God's grace. But as I said already, the seeking Savior will find the sincere sinner. And wherever there's a searching heart, God responds. And we've seen it in both cases. John Wesley was a great man of God, 1700s. He founded what we know the Methodist Church that today. But this was John Wesley's life. His daddy was a preacher. He was a church member. He was a minister himself, the son of a minister. He belonged to a religious club at Oxford University, the purpose of which was the perfecting of the Christian life. He served as a foreign missionary. But even as he preached to others, he had no assurance of his own salvation. On May 24, 1738, at a small meeting in London, someone was reading aloud from Martin Luther's commentary on Romans. And he said he felt his heart strangely warmed, felt as though he had trusted Christ. And after that, the result was the great Wesleyan revival. It swept through Britain. Thousands and thousands of people were converted, saved. Even the culture was changed because of that. God interrupted his life. And God will interrupt our lives and shake out of our slumber and sleep if we'll seek that. And then the third thing we see is the Holy Spirit interrupted everybody. And Peter was preaching, I read there to you from like verse 34 down through 43, Peter preached, and before he finished the message, he wasn't done. It said in verse 44, while he yet spake, while he was preaching these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Matter of fact, Charles Spurgeon, that's how he got saved. A layman was just speaking the words, reading some words from the Bible, and while he yet spake, he said he felt that he was saved. I mean, right then. Man, I'm going to tell you what, boy, what a thing. The Holy Spirit fell on those that heard and believed while he was yet preaching. Man, I wish that God would go ahead and just interrupt the service anytime. I mean, anytime, just, you know, go ahead and cut in, interrupt the service, and somebody get filled with the Holy Spirit, somebody get saved. Listen, you don't have to wait till we get the invitation down here. Anytime, I've said this years ago, I don't say it every service, but anytime, I don't care wherever we're at in the preaching, man, if you feel like you're lost, come on down. We'll hold the whole show up, and man, you know, you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, save your soul. I mean, man, that's the deal right there. This guy, the Holy Spirit interrupted the service, and sometimes, you know what, we just got to get out of the way. We got to get out of the way, and we got to let God do what God's going to do. We got everything all organized, you know, 3 points and a poem, and we got the song, and then we're going to have the praise and worship, and, you know, Lord forbid that anybody interrupted, even God, you know, don't cut in on it and mess us all up. We'll get all out of order. You know, we don't want God to show up, and you know, listen, God needs to show up, and the Holy Spirit, we need that today. God cutting in, taking over, and boy, like I said, what a congregation Peter had. I don't know if you caught it when I read that, but this is what it said in the text. Number one, they were all present. They were all present. Everybody was there. The second thing was that they listened. And the third thing was they wanted to hear the Word of God. And then the third thing was it said they believed and they obeyed. Everything goes together right there. And they especially in verse 43, this really grabbed them. Said to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever, that's anybody. They really grabbed onto that. And you got to remember the cultural rift between Jews and Gentiles. And Gentiles was everybody that wasn't a Jew. Through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sin. Now that word believe means more than a historical belief. It's a heart belief, not a head belief. It means that you just, you know, you're apprehending this with your heart, that you're trusting, putting your faith in. They understood that. They understood that. And it said that they applied that whosoever to themselves. And it says that they were saved. It said that the Holy Ghost fell on them. That's salvation. See, without the Holy Spirit of God, you're none of His. The Bible's clear on that in Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, if I don't get that backwards. Without His Spirit, we are none of His. It might be 1:8 or 8:8. Anyway, without the Holy Spirit, that's God's impartation to the believer. Happens instantly. Happens instantly today when we believe, when we hear, just like it did there. This is the plan from now on right there in Acts. It was a couple different ways before that. Things happened differently. And the results is, it said that they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and that is not, they weren't speaking in an unknown tongue. They were speaking in a known tongue, because otherwise they wouldn't have known they were magnifying God. So the people around them heard what they said, but this is the result of being saved. What happens is your speech changes. Huh? Your speech changes. Man, they were magnifying God. There's a result of really being saved and really be the Spirit of God being poured out on us. Us being filled with the Spirit is, it's an automatic thing. You don't have to go to a class on it. You don't have to go to Praising God 101 and get a degree. It just automatically happened. They praised God. Man, they were just praising God. They weren't saying, God, man, I got lumbago and I got a hangnail and my liver's falling out my side. They weren't talking. They said they just praised God. The model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not one mention of a physical problem with anybody. It's all about God. That's automatic. It's automatic. They praised God. They magnified God, it said there. And this is what happens when you really get saved. Your speech is changed. Your attitude changed. Your outlook changed. Praise is the language of the saved. And it was manifest to the world. Everybody, they said, see what happened. Let me see how it says, for they heard them. This is the other people, Peter and the other guys that came with him. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They saw it. They said, and they couldn't deny it. Because see, this was a shock to the Jews. You mean to tell me God's saving the Gentiles, man? Well, how did they know they were saved? They saw it. They saw what happened. And they said, well, man, we can't deny it. If God's saving them, man, praise God for it, man. And praise God for them for not resisting the will of God that what was going on in their life. It was witnessed. Let me ask you this about this. Has God ever interrupted your life? And I don't mean, oh, well, you know, the preacher came by or I came down and we looked at the scriptures and said that, you know, I need to be saved. And I said, okay, well, if that's the case, then I better ask God to save me. And I prayed, and then, you know, later on the preacher baptized me in the creek, and, you know, I started showing up at church. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, has God ever interrupted your life where all of it, man, after the day that you called on Jesus Christ for your salvation, that, I mean, man, things changed for you. How you talked and how you looked and how you walked and how you acted, what kind of attitude you had in your life. I mean, there was joy in your heart and there was peace in your heart. I'm not saying that you don't have troubles. I'm just saying that you look at it differently when you got Jesus Christ in your life. Has God ever interrupted your life that way? I'm not talking about me interrupting your life, knocking on your door with a Bible. I'm talking about God interrupting your life after you heard the word and you believed and you got saved. Has God ever interrupted your life? If he hadn't, you're not saved. God's going, that's salvation right there. Is when God, you know, some people, they go through all those motions. And then, life is just same as always. Other than they got a church maybe they're attached to or something, but life pretty much stays the same. Not for these people. Not for these people. It was different. When God sent his son, we just had Christmas, we celebrated, he interrupted the world. When Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he interrupted the world. And when he sent the Holy Spirit, he interrupted the church. God spoke to Peter and he spoke to Cornelius. I want to ask you this. Is God speaking to you? Has God spoken to you? Is God speaking to you now? Let's all stand, heads bowed.